is beginning to rain, rain, rain to the wash of our Father. Saying, whosoever will come drink of this water, I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. That's from Isaiah chapter 60, beginning with verse 1. I like that. Arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Goes on to say in verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Now, friends, how many times have you looked out at the world around you and the iniquities are so great? The people of the world in this nation of the United States are defiled with blood. Their lips, even the lips of our leader, our president, have spoken lies. Their tongues have muttered perversities. And no one really calls for justice. No one pleads for truth. They trust in vanities. They speak lies. They conceive mischief and they bring forth iniquity. And friends, that is exactly what God said happened to the peoples of Israel. You can read about that in chapter 59. In fact, I've just about quoted you chapter 59. Of Isaiah and saying what I did. I've just paraphrased it. But God calls on you and me to arise, to shine. Oh my goodness, how can you do that? Do you have the strength inside of you to do it? No, you don't. But it says the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Now he has the strength to do it. Well, today we're going to be starting a new series, How to Have Victory Over the Devil. You know, when I named this series, my wife, she chastised me a little bit. Now, she's as sweet as a pie, Wanda, but she did say to me that I had the wrong title for this sermon series. Oh, I love a wife with a loving little chastening. She says, you know, sweetheart, you have the wrong name for that sermon. And I said, well, I don't think so. I'd get a little defensive, you know. She says, yes, you do. I said, no, I don't. She said, well, sure you do. I said, no, no, you're wrong. And I began to smile. And she says, well, your title is How to Have Victory Over the Devil. Well, that's not enough. I said, well, what is enough? She said it should be titled How to Have Victory Over the Devil Through Jesus Christ. I said, well, you know, I've lost the debate already. You're right. That is absolutely true. That is a much better title. And that's what we're going to be talking about. But how can you do it? You know, it's easy to say just trust on Jesus. And the words are very profound. But there's some things that the Bible gives you, some guidelines. I guess you could call them rules. But some ways to handle the devil. And, of course, it all comes back to the fact that you do everything through Jesus Christ. He said, without me, you are nothing. But through him, we can arise and shine. But before we arise and shine through this series of sermons and programs here on Bible Home Church, we're going to have some worshipful music. Now, I always call this beautiful music because Jesus is thoroughly lovely and beautiful in his spirit toward us. And I believe our music should be aimed at that very same goal, to spread beauty and loveliness throughout the nation and the world. A lot of folks have written to me and they said, Tex, that man who sings the theme song for Bible Home Church program, Johnny Ray Watson. I love his music. I love his voice. Well, I can understand that. He's a good friend of Wanda and I, and he does have a great, great voice. Johnny Ray Watson. And, you know, the theme song is entitled It's Beginning to Rain. And as I understand, that was written, I think, by Brother Gaither some years ago. I believe, if I'm wrong, forgive me, I'll atone for that, but I believe it was Brother Bill Gaither. But this particular song is so wonderful. It's beginning to rain. And let me tell you something, my friends. When Jesus rains on you, it doesn't mean that he's bringing some hard times. I'm telling you, his rain is something you want. It'll replenish your life. And just like the wheat out in the field, you will rise and shine when Jesus rains his holiness on you. It's beginning to rain. And some people have said, well, Tex, I only hear just a few bars or a few verses of that music. I'd like to hear the whole song again, the whole thing all the way through. Well, all right. We're going to do that today. Here is the entire song, It's Beginning to Rain, with Johnny Ray Watson. And immediately following that, you'll hear Pastor Tex Mars and my very weak, but very, very much, well, let's just say I put in a very good effort through Jesus help to preach a sermon for you today. And I think you're going to enjoy it too, because after all, I want to win victory over the devil, don't you? And I'm going to show you exactly how. I bet a lot of things you're going to hear in this series of sermons you have never, ever, ever heard before. You'll hear them for the first time over the next few weeks. But first, it's beginning to rain.
The turtle dove is singing the sweet songs of the morning. The leaves of the trees send their silvery cups to the sky. The silent clouds above are beginning to gather. The barren land is so thirsty, and so am I. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
Beginning to rain.
The young man's eyes start to shine as he tell of his vision. The old understands what he sees, for they dream their dream. With a thrill of being alive, they reach for each other. And they dance in the rain for the joy of the thing they see. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my Spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain. At the first drop of rain that you feel, open your window. Then call all the children together, throw wide the door. When the rain of the Spirit are falling, fill every vessel. For he who drinks his fill will thirst no more. It's beginning to rain, rain, rain. Hear the voice of our Father.
sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain. If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Speak on a very special topic, and it's a topic that I believe you're going to appreciate. The title is Victory Over the Devil. Now, if the devil is too harsh a word, we'll just say victory over the adversary. I mentioned to Wanda that I was going to be preaching on this subject, and she says, well, why don't you entitle it Victory in Jesus, which adds, you know, a different dimension to it. And so we'll call ours tonight, Victory Over the Devil Through Jesus. How's that? Because really, that is the only way to victory. And if we think we can defeat the devil by ourselves, well, we're sadly mistaken, because we will surely be overcome. Now, today we're going to talk about a four-step program. You heard about 12 steps. Well, they lead you to some higher power or something. We're not going to talk about that tonight. This is just a four-step program. Four steps to victory over the adversary. Four steps. And I believe if you'll keep these four steps in mind. Now, we're going to talk about each step in turn, and then we're going to end up tonight summarizing these four steps, and I'll list each one again. And hopefully you'll go home and think about that over the next few days and weeks, what these four steps might mean in your life. What they do mean, and what they mean to your loved ones, to your children, to your parents, to your friends. The fact is, the devil does have certain powers, doesn't he? He has been given certain limited power. And I believe we need to know that. Now, in my ministry, Power of Prophecy, a lot of people accuse me of concentrating on the devil too much. They say, Tex, you speak about the devil and his works all the time. And that's probably true. That is the ministry that God has given me of exposing the devil. I don't say any nice things about the devil, though. But it is true. I talk about him. And it struck me a long time ago that the job of a Christian is not to forget that the devil exists, but just don't major on it. Sort of like a college program, you know. Major on Jesus and minor in the devil. But don't forget that he does exist. His works are made manifest in the world. And I believe there's a far greater tendency by pastors, by church leaders, and by Christians in general to totally erase any mention of the devil and his works. You see, that might be negative. That might make you think about things like hell. I believe you would like me to present the whole counsel of God, wouldn't you? And there are wonderful passages. We could talk all day. And we just finished on the Bible Home Church on the air. I think we finished an 8-part series, Who is Jesus? So we started Bible Home Church with Who is Jesus? And I could have gone on and on and on. You know, I could have preached forever. You really cannot exhaust the subject of who is Jesus. How do you have victory over the devil? A lot of people are convinced they cannot achieve victory over sin and over the adversary. They really are. They said, I've tried and I can't do it. It's gotten to the place where we actually have people call our ministry and say, I don't believe I'm saved. There's no way I can be saved and still sin. And some people say, I just think that I am such an evil person, or I have committed such grievous sins. I'm such a bad person. I know God would not save me. And I began to think we need help for these people. We need to tell them how to achieve victory. Or better yet, we need to tell them how victory has already been achieved, in a way that they will understand it. Because that's very sad for a person to believe the lie that they are such a bad person that God has no power to cleanse them. Now, isn't that a trick of the devil? Imagine. And is that true that we worship and serve such a puny God that He can't cleanse and protect you from the ravages of the evil one? I don't believe that's true at all. I'm going to prove it here tonight. And I think the first thing we need to look at, we need to ask ourselves, who is this devil? And what is his real power and his limitations? Because believe me, they're pretty great. And I think we're going to start with Job. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Job chapter 1, verses 6 through 12. Here is an interesting set of passages, you see, because this is the start of Job's problems. And this whole book of Job is about Job's problems. And let me tell you, the people we pray for tonight, I don't think they have any more problems than Job had. This guy was really beset with some difficulties in life. But let's see how it began here. Now, verse 6, we'll start with. It says, now there was a day when the sons of God came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came also among them. Now let's just stop there just a minute. There was a day, evidently appointed by God, when the sons of God, that's everybody that He's created, came before Him. There He was on the throne, and they had to report to Him. Well, you know, I was in the Air Force for 20 years, and I remember sometimes I would get a message, report to, you know, when I was a lowly person, report to Colonel so-and-so, report to, in a few cases, General so-and-so. And I always wondered, oh boy, am I in trouble? When they say report, come before this person of authority, you start asking yourself, is anybody messed up recently in my squadron? Is anybody, you know, in... what am I going to have to answer here? And every once in a while, I would call in the lieutenants and sergeants that worked for me, and I said, has anybody messed up? I just got a call. I've got to go and see General so-and-so. And, of course, we had a weekly staff meeting, and some squadrons I was in, we had a daily stand-up. Everybody stood around in a room, and, you know, the commanding officer made us go around and say, tell me what you're going to do today, where you're at. You know, Major so-and-so, why are you behind on this? Captain so-and-so, you know, why did you mess up on this? And there we had to explain ourselves before the whole group. Well, here this, the sons of God came before God, and they were to report to Him and give an accounting. And Satan was among them. Now, a lot of people have a wrong idea of saying they believe that there is really a heavenly war in which it's nip and tuck. Satan gets a little bit ahead one day, but then, you know, the race is on, and God gets a little bit ahead the next day, and we don't know how it's all going to happen. We don't know how it's going to come out. But is that really the way it is? No. The Bible tells us that God is God. He sits on the throne, and all those whom He has created, when He tells them to, they come before Him. His servants. Did you know the devil is just an errand boy? He does what God tells him to do. Now, he tried to rebel against that one time, but sorry for him. He lost. So here he comes before God. Verse 7 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro on the earth, and from walking up and down in it. Well, you know, God already knew where he was coming, but he made him answer anyway. God was sort of taunting him. Remember, Satan had his great abode. He was that beautiful angel at home, those privileges to be right there with God. He was even God's music director. He knows a lot more about music than Tex Mars does, or any of us. Especially Tex Mars. But he was walking to and fro on the earth. What a crummy place compared to heaven. So God said, hey, where have you been? What have you been doing? He already knew, but Satan had to answer him anyways. Well, I've been walking to and fro in the earth. And then the Lord decided to taunt him a little bit more. God does what he wants. Verse 8 says, and the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil? Verse 9, then Satan answered the Lord and said, doth Job fear God for naught? Verse 10, hast not thou made a hedge about him and about his house and about all that he hath on every side? Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. Verse 11, but put forth thine hand now and touch all that he hath, and he will curse thee to thy face. The devil said, sure, he fears you. Sure, he does what you want. Sure, he's prosperous. But that's because you've got this hand of protection. I can't get to him to destroy him. I can't ruin him. I can't hurt him because you're protecting him. You're giving him prosperity. But you take away that hedge of protection, and you watch, he'll curse you. Now think about the implications. You see, Job feared God. He loved God. He obeyed God. And what could the devil do about it? Absolutely nothing. And God favored Job and gave him prosperity and happiness. And the devil could do absolutely nothing about it. And the devil even complained, well, sure, he's going to worship you. Sure, look, but you take down the hedge and he'll curse you. Well, no, we're not going to go all the way through Job, but what really happened? The most horrible thing, sicknesses, boils. He lost his family, lost everything. He became homeless. He was sick. Disgusting sores on his body. Everybody came to him and said, it's all because of you. You must have sin in your life. Oh, he could go on and on with Job's troubles. And they said, go ahead and curse God. No, he wouldn't do it. And everything was restored to him. But you see, until God took away that hedge of protection, and I forgot to tell you, God agreed to do that for a certain time. They told the devil, you can do anything to my servant Job except kill him. I'm not going to let you do that. Did you know that as a Christian, as a believer in God, you are totally protected from the devil? You are not of his kingdom. He has no authority over you. Now, everyone on this planet who doesn't know God belongs to the devil. And he can do whatsoever he wants. But this is scary. He can. Why shouldn't he? He owns them. But once they accept Jesus and he comes in and makes his abode in them, the devil has no way to get at them because God has a hedge of protection. Because Jesus lives in them. And how can God attack you if Jesus lives in you? But here was a test. God agreed to a test. You say, well, that wasn't right for God to do that. Well, who are you to say it wasn't right? In fact, I believe there's a reason for the test. We have the book of Job now. And it's a great inspiration to millions of people in time of trouble and turmoil. The example of Job. Here we then see the power of the devil is limited. And he can do nothing against a child of God lest God say, okay. That is true. God, for whatever reason, sometimes allows bad things to happen in your life, doesn't he? I bet something bad has happened to all of us, to different degrees. Yet, do you have faith? Do you have faith when the Bible says that all things work together for good? For them that love the Lord, do you have faith? That's the question. Let's go now to Isaiah chapter 14, verse 12 through 15. That's Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. We're going to find out now, we've already seen what limited authority the devil has. He has authority over the world, but not over you as Christians. Now we're going to see, though, the destiny of the devil. See, I think before we start talking about how to have a victory over the devil, we really should understand the destiny of the devil. Isaiah 14, verses 12 through 15. We begin, how art thou fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning? How art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? For thou hast said in thine heart, I will ascend into heaven. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will sit also upon the mount of the congregation in the sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. Was the devil a positive thinker? Five times he said, I will. And you know, he really believed that. He said, I will, I will, I will, I will, I will. Now, a lot of people say today, if you believe it enough and you speak it, you'll speak it into existence. That's what they teach, the Word of Faith movement, whole movement. Millions of supposed Christians are saying that. All you have to do is say it. I will be rich. I will get a new job. I will find a husband. I will get on a diet and lose weight. I will buy myself a new Cadillac. I will. They don't ask God. All they have to do, they're being told by these Word of Faith preachers, is just say, I will, speak it, and it will come into existence. Name it and claim it. Well, the devil did that. Now let's see what happens.
Let's see what happens when you, of your own strength and mind, say, I will. Verse 15 is very clear and very fast and very quick. It says, yet thou shalt be brought down to hell, to the sides of the pit. All of the devil's positive thinking didn't get him anywhere at all. If he had simply said from the beginning, Lord, what would you have me do? Things would have been so much nicer for the devil. But he didn't. He spoke positive things, but they don't come into existence because God has a will. And friends, you can even pray for the wrong thing and God may not give it to you because He knows what's best for you. He has a will for your life, and you are better off in concluding with each prayer, nevertheless, not my will but thine. It's okay to ask for whatever you want, but do not assume that you know better than God. And certainly don't say, I will decree it into existence. You're in big trouble, because look what happened to the old devil.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.